Fire up the barbecue, put those drinks on ice. This is the tailgate. 702-365-9200, Raider Nation Radio. All right, we're a day removed from the cleanse, if you will. We had a lot of calls. Lighten up that phone line, Clay. A lot of calls. A lot of angry fans, frustrated fans after what they saw week one in Los Angeles. A lot of, Vinny, here we go again. That kind of mentality. I had one guy, I think he hit us all up on the X, saying he heard me say, time to call in. Let's see how you feel. And he said, no. Nope,
he wanted no part of that.
Can't do it today. Maybe today's the day. 702-365-9200. Hey, if there's some lingering feelings from week one, we want to hear it. Let's talk it out. Let's get a set. Let's reset, recalibrate, and start anew. Because it is a long season. It is a lengthy season. Make sure you're following us on X at Vin Sapienza, at Vinny Bonsignor, and at Clay Baker Radio. We're going to talk to Jason Fitz in the 8 o'clock hour. And then at 8:30, a very special guest, Vinny. Who are we talking to at 8:30? Joey Molinaro.
Right. If you're on X or on social media, you've probably seen Joey. He does impersonations.
He's a comedian. He's fantastic.
Right, and extremely talented. Kind of came out of nowhere doing his own thing and burst onto the scene. Extremely funny. Does a great Nick Saban. Does everybody, basically. So we will talk to him at 8:30, get his thoughts on the Raiders and the NFL, and of course college football. He's a big college football fan, so looking forward to talking to him.
Football is back, and we're going to talk Brock Bowers today. We're going to talk Alexander Mattison today. But real quick, Clay, week one is officially in the books because last night, the Aaron Rodgers show made it past four plays.
And, you know, even my mom, 85 years old, was excited to see and lived on every play that Aaron Rodgers had just because she wanted to see. Do you still have it? But at the same time, let's give you some, some flowers and just say, listen, the wreath is out there. You put yourself out there and say, I want to see two cookie-off returns in week one. You got one. And the 49ers and Jets game let you down. My heart went out to you.
I did say I was getting greedy. I said I was going to get greedy, and I said there was going to be two. And you know, DeAndre Carter, of all people, former Raider, let me down. Mm-hmm. Let me down.
Good friend. I think that's a great segue into, you know, what I've been thinking about on the flight back home. Thinking about this, it was a whole 45 minutes. But at the airport, you know, waiting for my flight, and there was a little bit of a delay. I think for you and all your excitement and all your hopes and hopefulness and expectations for the new kickoff role, and you know, I wasn't trying to be Debbie Downer, but I was like, you're going to have fewer than you think. You know, I think coaches are going to size this thing up through the data that they had during the preseason. They were going to do the right thing for their teams, which to me, based on what I was hearing, there's going to be way fewer kickoffs than people thought, in spite of the new rule. And I think that realization and having now a realistic expectation for you, the new kickoff rules and how many we're going to see throughout the course of the season, I think having a healthy expectation for things rather than getting your hopes way up and then being disappointed, I think it's probably a good lesson. And I hate to say this because, you know, I'm as optimistic and I'm as hopeful for Raider Nation as anybody that they're going to get their championships and they're going to get their great seasons and they're going to be rewarded for all of the, you know, the commitment that they've made to this team and everything that they've poured into this team. There's nobody that I don't root for the Raiders. I'm not a fan. I cover the Raiders for the Review Journal and do this show. But I am hopeful for the fans. I've gotten to know a lot of Raider Nation.
Right.
And there's nothing that I want more than for those people that have, those fans who, you know, Fabian always points out, it's not just been 20 years. It's been like 35 years or so. It's, it's way back since the Raiders were the Raiders that I knew, and as somebody, as a young man and growing up, the Raiders that I knew that dominated the NFL, it's been a long time since those days. But what I'm saying is that the healthy expectation that you should have for the kickoff, I think is a good lesson maybe right now for Raider Nation and Raider fans to have a realistic expectation of what this team is this year and what maybe they aren't this year and some of the limitations of this team and how from week to week, game to game, you know, things are going to have to really work out well for this team to be a highly competitive team. I still think that there's a pathway, a blueprint, a recipe, if you will, for the Raiders to win 9 to 10 games this year. They're already down one that we thought maybe they had a good chance going in to win the game. But it's going to take, as we talked about, so many things to go right and avoiding mistakes, which you want. You always talk about it and you always emphasize it and you always prioritize it as a team. But that doesn't mean that mistakes aren't going to happen during the course of the game. Turnovers are going to happen during the game. Breakdowns aren't going to happen during the game. It's just the nature of sports that there will be. But for this team and the limitations of this team right now, it's just so razor thin that I think expectations just need to be in line with what this team is right now.
Well, in regards to the kickoff, God forbid we be excited. The NFL has ruined us. And by us, I mean specifically me. Damn you, NFL.
Damn you to hell.
Because here I was, all excited. And you know what? I'm doubling down. We're going to see three kickoff. No, we're not. We're not. You know, it's frustrating because as mad as I was at during the weekend at the lack of big explosive returns like I was hoping to see.
No. This is everyone else had their therapy sesh yesterday.
Yeah, this
you
got to
get through this, man.
This is mine. You know, as I'm watching, I was so mad at these special team coordinators. I was so mad at these kickers having these unbelievably athletic legs just kicking through the end zone. These genius coaches saying, just let them have it at the 30. That, you know what? My anger shifted. And it wasn't to Vinny. It was to the NFL overlords.
Which would have been misplaced. Anger,
overlords.
It was the NFL overlords. Because damn them for getting me excited and getting my hopes up that we were going to see some kickoffs return for a touchdown.
You don't think this is a you problem a little bit?
In spite of
everything that was told to
you, that's definitely gone through my
right?
head.
It's like.
But hey,
don't touch that stove because it's hot. Looks cold to me.
We're on the radio. It's never my fault. At home, when I'm by myself,
you are.
It's never my. I'm the youngest child.
Exactly.
It's never my fault. But to your point, in terms of the expectations, they just had to kick it out of the... Anyways, okay, I'm off the kickoff. Enough. The dynamic kickoff is dead in my eyes until I see differently.
The bubble is burst.
It is burst. And it only took 16 games.
Yeah. Shocking that coaches were going to do what they felt was the right thing to do for their team.
Selfish. Yeah. Selfish, you ask me.
Selfish.
If you ask me, but who is? But as we pivot to the Raiders... And yeah, you know, Vinny, we were talking yesterday. Again, bit of a cleanse, right, for the fans, because regardless of from the perspective of the organization, probably one thing. Fans, no matter what, fans are fans
and
for a reason,
so.
And hopes go up, excitement goes up, energy gets ramped up, and again, a lot was poured into week one. A lot was poured into it. It was a division game. It was on the road. It what was essentially a home game for the fans in terms of Southern California, Chargers week, everything that goes in with it.
A beatable opponent.
And when we talk about that path to 9-10 wins, in every simulation that I tried to create over the offseason, it all started with a win here in L.A. Didn't happen. Is that path still there? I'm sure there is a path. It gets a lot tougher.
It becomes
a lot more bumps in the
road. The path is what do you have to do on a week-to-week basis. That's the path that I'm talking about.
And when you look at it, the Raiders lost on Sunday for a different reason than I think most of us thought a loss would look like. Or and not to use the word blame, but because there's plenty of blame to go everywhere. I mean, to your point, wins for this team are going to be a collective. It's going to be everybody doing really well. And no passengers, right? So special teams has to be almost perfect. A.J. Cole was great. Carlson misses that kick. You know, does that change? Probably does because Chargers go down and score a touchdown off that missed field goal. So when you talk about being perfect, special teams got to be perfect. Defense was lights out until they weren't in the fourth quarter or midway through the third quarter. They were great until they weren't. The offense could not move the ball. Like, when Antonio Pierce says we got to the 50 and it just felt like there was a force field, like there was just something keeping us, that's troubling.
There's things you have to be able to do, and there's things you can't do for the Raiders this year. That's their margin of error. They have to be better. You have to win the third down battle. They lost that decisively. You have to stop the run. They lost that decisively. You have to run the ball. They didn't do that at all. You have to be efficient at quarterback. They were to an extent, but then that got completely washed over by two huge turnovers by the quarterback. One in particular that probably changed the dynamic of the game. That fumble that that he had completely, you know, ruined any momentum and gave the Chargers some life there at the end of the first half. You have to get to the red zone. They got there one time. You have to seize the moment in the red zone. They didn't do that. They were 0 for their only trip to the red zone. So everything that the Raiders had to do and had to avoid, they either didn't do or they didn't avoid. And so that path to victory on a week-to-week basis is going to require them to check off all the boxes that we've been talking about, and they just didn't do that. So there's no, it's inevitable. Like, to me, they lost the way I figured that they would lose. If you don't take care of the ball, if you're not good on third down, if you're not good in the red zone, you're going to lose pretty much every time you step on the field with this team.
Yeah, and again, that's kind of what I've been thinking about since we got off air yesterday. I was trying to think, just the way they lost was surprising because it wasn't, I think the larger thought, if the Raiders were going to win, it was Gardner turning the ball over or not moving the offense. It happened, but it started yesterday with a lack of running game, right? Like, the Raiders weren't, we hear coaches talk about all the time, like starting on time, getting in a rhythm. Well, the run game was nowhere to be found, thus putting them off schedule and making what was already a challenge for Gardner Minshew a bigger challenge, because now he's trying to move the ball through the air, which is, we know the Raiders want to move the ball and move the change on the ground. I think their first seven first downs were all through the air.
Yeah, and even when they were on schedule, they couldn't get it done. Two third and ones and a fourth and one. That's on schedule.
Yeah.
You're right where you want to be. And they still couldn't take advantage.
So when I look at it, and I'm again, I'm going back through my notes. I'm looking back some of the tape. I already watched it again, so I'm not diving deep into it for a third or fourth time. But when you're looking at what at the rhythm of the game, right? It's 7-3, under 2 minutes to go in the first half. The Raiders' offense is not doing much, right? I mean, the offense is just not doing as much as maybe you would have hoped at that point.
Right.
The run game is not
non-existent.
The defense is playing lights out.
True.
And then the Minshew fumble happens, and then it just completely changes the tide. And I say that because you got through a half of football not doing what you wanted in the run game, which is your identity, and you were still winning because Gardner at that moment was taking care of the ball.
And the defense was playing really well.
At a minimum.
Right.
At a minimum.
Yep.
So when we look at building blocks, and again, maybe I'm grasping for straws here.
You have to be, though.
Right, and maybe that's what I'm doing. But on a Tuesday, following week one, looking ahead, saying that the season is not a complete lost cause and that there's still plenty to play for, when I look at that and I say, okay, the offense wasn't doing what they were doing, but Gardner took care of the football. It was 7-3 at essentially the half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not a great place to be. But I would take it. You're winning.
Sure.
If Gardner doesn't fumble that ball, and that's kind of what I was getting at yesterday when you said, you know, at minimum, when I was like, at minimum, they punt the ball. A.J. Cole punts him, pins him down, and they go into the half 7-3. I think at this stage of the roster, you'll take that as a win for the Raiders going in up 7-3.
Which is a whole story in and of itself that you can't wish for more or expect more.
That's what I mean. Expectation and hoping are two different things.
I agree.
So at this stage right now, you're sitting there hoping, at minimum, hold the ball, move the ball if you can, wind down the clock, let's go into half 7-3.
First and 10 at the 49-yard line. Like, fans should be able to hope for more right there. It's first and 10
fans should,
at the 49. You should be able to do more.
You should.
As a team, you should be able to do more than, oh, yeah, we could just punt it from here. We could get another 10 yards and punt. No, you're thinking the bottom line is a field goal right there.
That's what I'm saying. So when you look at it, that's a building block to me.
Right.
If you're, you go through the tape, you admonish the team, you hit them home, say all the things they did wrong right on Monday. Get to Delph. Tuesday, come back and be like, okay, these are our building blocks. We were up 7-3. It was a 2-point game, and we turned the ball over 2 times after 3 quarters. Like, we weren't far off if we took care of the football. Big, lot of ifs in that, but those are the building blocks I think we're going to have to hear, or we will hear, and we're going to have to talk about as the Raiders try and piece this together and get set for another big test on Sunday.
Building blocks insist or kind of like show you that adjustments just need to be made in order for you to get your successful outcome, right?
The adjustment is don't turn the ball over. Don't have mental mistakes. You have to be able to run fit if you're Divine Diablo. You have to do that. That's what you're paid to do.
And I think offensive line, you have to be more physical.
Right.
You've got to be able to block.
You have to, as Vince was saying, not whiff on blocks. Like it's
there's a lot of those.
The adjustments is just doing your job at a higher level. That's it. That's really all that it requires, is doing their job at a higher level.
So that's not an overhaul. It's just adjustments need to be made.
No, and that's why I don't think that you're grasping for straws. I reject that. It's just, this is literally what we need to do. That's not grasping for straws. Grasping for straws, like, there's really no hope. I'm just trying to find. No, it's,
well,
it's
I think
clear
when
as day
when
what
see,
needs to happen.
When I say grasping for straws, I think, and I've been watching what the national media is talking about. When they see the score, they see 22-10. They say the Raiders were ineffective. They couldn't do anything. And I would argue, if you watch the game, the Raiders, despite not playing well offensively, were winning the game and doing it in a way that was very close to how they wanted to. Low scoring, good defense. They wanted more offense from their rushing attack. Didn't get it, but they were still winning towards the end of the first half because they were taking care of the ball. You know, we got a call yesterday from a fan who said, at least we're not Cincinnati. I think that's – I forget
okay,
who
yep,
called. Somebody
yeah.
said, at least we're
66.
Not Cincinnati. The Patriots went – if I'm the Raiders, I'm watching what the Patriots did. They did everything the Raiders have been talking about this offseason. A quarterback that doesn't make mistakes, a running game that is dominant and physical up front, and a defense that is elite. That is how they beat the Cincinnati Bengals. Say what you want about Cincinnati and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins didn't play. You say what you want where they're at headspace-wise, Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a damn good football team
still. I trade that. Yeah,
What I'm saying is it for to say oh well the Patriots be that's a this is exactly the recipe the Raiders need to look at and be like that's how we need to play,
and then hope that the Bengals or the other team plays badly. That's that to me. It was more the Bengals laid a massive egg in that game.
But
I know what you're saying, but
I'm translating that over, the Chargers did not look like world beaters on Sunday. That's what I'm saying. The game was there for the taking.
Mm-hmm.
They did 2.5 things right. They played elite defense for 2.5 quarters, and then the quarterback did not take care of the ball, and the running game was nowhere to be found.
Tough. It's a recipe for disaster.
2.5 things right. That's 2.5. That's our new pilot on UPN.
Right.
Yeah, 2.5 things.
UPN.
And unfortunately for this team, that's too much. That crosses over the margin of error. You just can't. You can't only do that. And especially when you're doing wrong things as well. When you're making mental mistakes, penalties that kill big plays. And I'm with you. I don't think that was a holding call on Michael Mayer.
It was not.
But it is what it is. You can't be Zamir White cannot fumble right there. You got to take care of the ball right there. You got to take care of the ball if you're Gardner Minshew. So yeah, I think the recipe is clear, and it's not necessarily it's not a hopeless situation, and it's not a grasping at straws situation. The message should be quite clear if you're Antonio Pierce. We've got to do much better in terms of the mental side of the game. Defensively, you just can't have those type of breakdowns. Not with this offense. You just can't. You got to that's just the way it is. And offensively, you got to do better. You got to be more efficient on those third downs. You have to be able to get a yard in 3 attempts. three times you got stuffed on two third downs and a fourth down. It just can't happen with this team.
702-365-9200. If you didn't call to cleanse yesterday.
Or vent.
No better day.
Vent.
Than.
Scream, yell, cry, whatever it is that you need to do.
Coming up, we're going to hear from Antonio Pierce on the gate.
At least we didn't do that. It's on to Baltimore, guys.
That's right. Raider 66 coming back here on Raider Nation Radio. Vince, Vinny, and Clay, 702-365-9200. Hey, make sure you go online and go to the App Store on your phone or Google Play. Download the LV Sports Network app. If you haven't done it already, it streams clearly on both Android and iPhone and has links to our podcast, LV Sports Network app. And we're also getting thoughts up on the text line at 702-365-9200, brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center. And calls. Out to the Colorado Rocky Mountains. It's Papa Meech. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, CVV. How are you guys all doing?
What's up, man? That's
very good.
Very good. Well, Vince, you were right, and I was right. It was a must game, little M, and we didn't win the must game. And now we've really got to play the best game maybe of our season to get back at 1-1. And I was worried about this game, and my worries panned out. My biggest overall takeaway from the game was defense played as I thought they would, but you just can't hold a team without scoring. You can't expect our defense to hold the team and not score more than 10 points, and I think the biggest key to losing that game were a lot of things, but it starts with the running game. You don't have a running game to offset the throwing, and then again, I wish Aiden was our starter. I'm not trying to pile on Minshew. I was impressed with some of the throws he made in the middle of the field in traffic. I was surprised by those. So I give him some A pluses for that. But when you can't throw the ball long, we didn't throw one long ball in the whole game. The defense knows that. But the point I really called to make was every year when the season's over and then as we start getting into the draft and everything, Raider fans call and they complain about the media. Oh, the media, they're so down on the Raiders, they don't give us respect. And the sports writers are horrible towards us and other fan bases. They just don't give us the respect. And we're going to win a lot of games this year, blah, blah, blah. And I say, what are you guys thinking about? What are you guys smoking? We don't get respect because we don't deserve respect. We have been a mediocre franchise for the last 30 years. And I love my Raiders, man. You guys know how much the fan base and this old guys who've been around forever, watching the good years and now the bad years for 30 some years. We've watched the team that with Mark wants this team to win desperately. There's no doubt about that. I'm not criticizing any of the things that the management and the owner has done to try to make this team a winner. And, he's really turned it around as far as making the Raiders one of the best teams financially and moving to Vegas. But, we are not even a playoff team. Twice in the last, 12 years? We've gotten into the playoffs once and we won and gone. So please, fans, don't get upset with the national media and say, oh, there's a conspiracy against the Raiders. We will not get respect until we start consistently, number one, being a playoff team. We don't do in a division every year, but we have to be an upper-tier team that always, hey, the Raiders, they're in the playoffs. That's the team I saw in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I mean, I would start the season every year in those 30 years and go, hey, we're going to be in the playoffs somewhere. I don't know if we're going to win the division or not, but we will definitely be in the playoffs. That mentality is gone. My sons, who are in their mid-30s now, they've never seen a winning Raider team, which I did. And I'm sorry I dressed them in Raider diapers and Raider napkins and Raider, gear when they were little kids, because I've tortured them, really, because I'm such a Raider fan, and they love the Raiders, but they've never seen, a team excel and be a good team. So anyway, I think we're going to lose in Baltimore. And then I think we're going to face our must-win at home, being down now 0-2. And I'm sorry I'm just negative, but it's brutal facts.
Okay, Papa, appreciate the call.
Yeah, I don't think it's negative. I think it's realistic. And, but Papa Meech, don't lose that hope, because all you have to me, you look at the Warriors, all right, before the Splash Brothers, before all that, What were they? They were never, I mean, come on, as somebody that covered the Lakers and worked for the Lakers, the Warriors were just a kind of a your little cousin or something like that. They were never a threat, you know, periodically every once in a while they'd have a pretty decent team. But they weren't like, so if you want to say they were being disrespected by everybody, they weren't being disrespected. They had earned what they got from a national perspective. And then all that changed. It sometimes takes, great decision making. It always requires some great decision making, some luck. Nobody knew that, Curry was going to end up being who he was or Klay Thompson was going to be who he was. Heck, Green was a second-round pick, but it takes sometimes just the right things happening at the right time, and all of a sudden it can turn on a dime. I remember when I was a kid, before Joe Montana, the 49ers were just, meh. Like, I'm talking in the 70s. It was the Cowboys, the Vikings, the Rams, the Raiders, the Miami Dolphins, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I could name a whole bunch of teams before you started talking about the 49ers. And then all of a sudden, you know, it changed for the 49ers. What about the Patriots, Clay? When you were younger, the Patriots were
not good at all. Their stadium was crumbling to hell.
Right, and then all of a sudden, you know, they there was a lot of luck that was involved in drafting Tom Brady, who I'm convinced they had no idea who Tom Brady was going to be when they drafted him. Let's be honest about it. You know, they got lucky with all that how it turned out. Give them all the credit in the world for drafting him, but they passed on him a whole bunch of times too. So don't lose hope, because you never know where this thing's going to turn. And I'm fully convinced that it eventually will. But as of right now, in 2024, I think the best thing for Raider fans this year is just to have realistic expectations and understand it's probably going to be a struggle almost week in and week out offensively to do the right things and check off all the necessary boxes. It's going to take a Herculean effort by the defense to kind of hang in there on a week to week basis, understanding how limited the offense might be, and if you do the right things more than enough times this season, you could win 9 to 10 games or so, but it's going to be a struggle. That's just the facts of the matter for this year. But don't lose hope for the future.
That was Papa Meech on the call. What a sound, realistic, and self-aware call. I don't agree with everything he said, but I do agree with the sentiment where he talked about, you know, this national media and respect. And what do we care about respect right now? How about a win? Like, you want respect, go get a win. Mm-hmm. Everybody just wants to be handed everything. Everybody just wants it. Everybody wants to be like, well, the Raiders 30, 40 years ago were unbelievable. They need to have that respect. Just because Antonio Pierce is here setting that same culture, living that same life, does not demand the same respect for the team. You got to win. And
not only that, where's Jib Plunkett? Where's Howie Long? Where's Lyle Alzado? Where's Cliff Branch?
So you're asking, where's all the Hall of Famers? That's a great question.
Right.
Culture's a word.
It's a word that is important, but none of it matters. Zero. Unless you have the players that can go out there. You look at the 49ers last night, talent all over the field, including at quarterback. And I think Brock Purdy is the most underrated player in the NFL, bar none. I heard, I was watching Gil's Arena, and they had, who's the former Tampa Bay Buccaneer defensive lineman? McCoy.
Gerald McCoy?
Gerald McCoy was talking about, yeah.
Former Raider.
In the locker room, in team locker rooms, he looks like a guy, you know, he's viewed as a guy amongst the players, and he's talking about Brock Purdy, and I had to laugh at this. He's viewed as a guy who's, you know, part of a group effort, you know, and gets the A on the group effort. But I'm like, are you not watching Brock Purdy make throw after throw after throw and right decision after right decision? Gerald McCoy, you were a fabulous defensive tackle, but I'm never going to go to you for quarterback advice ever, because if you can't see how great Brock Purdy is, and all the statistics bear this out. Yes, does he benefit a little bit from the situation that he's in? Yeah, but he's a huge part of the success. You can't just plug anybody in there, and the 49ers have done that before, where it just all blew up in their face, just plugging anybody. You have to have the right quarterback in there, and when I watch the 49ers and I see the talent, it's all about talent, and then obviously they have a great coach as well. But it starts with talent. And right now the Raiders lack talent, especially at some key areas.
Okay, but what I'm saying is in terms of, like, there's a lot of people, and you're getting it too, people are asking, where's the respect for the Raiders? And I'm sitting here saying, Hall of Famers or not, go win.
Well,
like, just win.
Yeah,
just win.
Definitely.
And like,
that's
respect,
how you earn respect.
Respect shouldn't even be a word right now. You know, respect's a word we can talk about in the offseason, and we did. We could talk about the rankings, where they picked AP, where they picked the team to finish, where they picked Gardner Minshew. We can talk and say, oh, there's no respect for – you can say all that. The season's here.
Right.
There's no opinion on respect anymore because the season is here. The players are playing. The players are putting out what they're putting out, and the results are what the results are. So there's no more of this, you know, hyperbole of like, oh, well, the Raiders.
The skepticism was justified. let's
right,
be honest.
But that's what I'm not saying whether it was justified or not. I'm just saying right now, week one, respect shouldn't be a worry. The worry should be Baltimore, the Ravens.
Right.
How do you go get a win
exactly.
in that? So, and the reason why I said I didn't agree with everything Papa Meech had to say is because he was saying there was a lot of A-plus throws from Gardner Minshew. Looking back at the tape, I would argue the throws he made are because he missed or he was impatient or he missed a read or things here and there. There was a lot of checkdowns. A lot. The checkdowns, it felt like years past. A lot mm-hmm. of checkdowns, a lot of underneath. I think I counted two over 15-yard throws the entire game.
Right.
One
right.
was the one to Devontae over the middle. I believe it was his second, his first catch. And the other one was to Brock Bowers on the play action fake.
And that's it. That's not going to get it done.
Now, part of that is, you know, and we're going to hear the sound from Antonio talking about it. There were plays called. You know, to be more aggressive with the football in the passing game. But it requires, number one, you got to have the arm strength to do it. Number two, you have to have the protection. I'm not with anybody who says, oh, the protection was pretty good. It still wasn't good. It definitely wasn't good enough. And it harkened back to training camp when the quarterbacks didn't have enough time to ever really do much of anything. And a lot of that was Max Crosby being Max Crosby. But I also felt like this offensive line needs to get it together. They need to be better. And so whether it was Gardner just not feeling confident standing in there and making
throws.
There
was not one throw he looked – well, I shouldn't say that. He looked
very
confident on the Brock Bowers throw.
Yeah.
That
was a little bit of a – wasn't it a rollout?
It was the only rollout of the game. And it was a play-action fake. And
which they had run it a couple of times. They had.
But it was shocking that it was probably the most time he had.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shocking mm-hmm. because the running game was going nowhere, yet the play action fake was still working in a sense that he
right.
was able to roll out, get time, and hit a wide open Brock Bowers. Now, in terms of the offense, we know it was going to be a work in progress. Antonio Pierce was asked on Monday about the offense and about where it could be going.
I think when you look at the offense, we look at the end result. There was a lot of plays called in the passing game that was to be aggressively thrown down the field. A lot of things factor into that. Protection, guys open, quarterback, all that stuff goes into play. So when I say ball control, like, you know, I want to keep our defense fresh. And I want to be able to finish games in the fourth quarter like what happened to us. A big part of our game is our identity and being physical and being styled at the line of scrimmage, and that didn't happen yesterday. Defensively, it did until the fourth quarter, and they cracked us. And, you know, it was a couple fits. It was, again, all fixable things. But when you talk about our offense, you know, we got playmakers. We got to get the ball into their hands. We got to protect better. And we got to make, you know, quicker decisions at the quarterback position. It all goes into play. It's a group effort. It's not a one individual. Yes, sir.
That's Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce talking about the offense and the woulda, coulda, shouldas, essentially, if you will, on what happened week one Sunday in Los Angeles. And again, just too many times when I looked at the tape, it just felt like Gardner was impatient with some of his reads. Devontae had opportunities.
How much of it is that a byproduct of he hasn't looked comfortable at all in training? And I understand why, because there's been players in his lap, and for Aiden O'Connell as well, almost from the second he gets the ball. So where is that comfort level supposed to come from if you're Gardner Minshew?
So quarterbacks are supposed to be a computer, right? They just process information. Like, the best quarterbacks are able to process the information, and it just felt like there was a lot of thinking. There was a lot of processing going on, and maybe not at the rate that—
And knowing that there's not enough time to process it necessarily.
Well, it's that, and it just—
Because I'm wondering what the byproduct of the impatient. You said impatient.
It felt impatient because there were times where it felt like his feet were very happy. Yeah. And it was like, maybe if he was in Indy, he would have just run sprint to the right. But, you know, maybe the talk was stay in the pocket, like go through your reads. And maybe that's what makes him look jittery, or maybe that's what makes him look uncomfortable, is the fact that he's being forced to stay in the pocket as opposed to doing what he likes to do and kind of just move around, not run,
right?
Not be just move. He likes to move around. Mm-hmm. He's a shorter quarterback. He has to be able to create his own lanes to be able to see the field over those linemen and those defensive tackles and defensive ends. I don't know. It just felt like there was a lot of processing going on as opposed to a lot of action.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one usually goes with the other with the great quarterbacks, and you just didn't see a lot of that happening on Sunday.
Yeah, without that vision, you have to then have this this omnipotent trust in everyone, where everyone's going to be where they're at. And it didn't seem like there was time for that, because there was plenty of hesitation. And let's get into more of this on the other side. Coming up next, more sound from Antonio Pierce. Your thoughts on the text line, 702-365-920.
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Vinny, Vince, and Clay on Raider Nation Radio.
You know, when you look at it, I'm just going from the offensive side of the ball. We had about six or seven possessions where we're at midfield or in plus territory. And it didn't go the way we wanted it to go. We didn't finish. You know, we make a big play with Brock, incomplete pass, two sacks, right? We get a two-minute drill, and we have a fumble. You know, we get down there, we get an explosive run, we get a holding. And then next play, we fumble. And it was just, the Raiders yesterday didn't do a good job of taking care of the Raiders. You know, a little self-inflicted, obviously give credit to them. But there's things that we could just clean up and do a lot better. Details matter. Details matter, right? And I thought our guys played hard, the effort, everything. They competed their asses off. But at the end of the day, they created the plays and made the plays that we did.
Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce.
And there's your hope, Vince.
Where was it?
Clean. If you do clean that stuff up, you can win that game. You should have won that game.
So
you do clean that up, that's possible. That's within the realm of possibility. It's why we've talked about, if the Raiders take care of the Raiders, as Antonio Pierce talked about, there is a path to 9 or 10 wins this year. But they have to take care of the Raiders. They have to do what they have to do, and they can't do what we know that they can't do. So there is hope. I believe that there's genuine hope here if they do right by the Raiders. But it's going to require that happening 13 more times or 13 times this year to legitimately give themselves a chance to win those 9 or 10 games. And that is possible, is what I'm saying.
You know, as we sit here on a Tuesday, typically Tuesdays are the off days for the players during game weeks and things like that. This is obviously a day where the coaches are pouring over game planning and getting ready to put the game plan together as they get set to install it, later today, Wednesday, later on the week for Baltimore. As we are sitting here, and we were just between the break, we were talking about other missed plays and other missed opportunities. And you just think about Antonio Pierce and his staff are just pouring over all these plays, saying, just make that block.
Mm-hmm.
Just reach that ball out. One extra,
Sustain the block. Just tuck
that ball in a little bit more.
Run with better pad level.
Keep your arms in tight instead of around, so you don't get
fight through a tackle. Cool.
Different things, like little things here and there. And every coach throughout the NFL is doing that right now. And, we were just talking about stuff that hasn't even been talked about with the media. The Trey Tucker on the second drive of the game. He got the first down. It was a bad spot.
I wrote it down on my notebook, first down, and then I looked down. I'm like, what are they doing here?
Bad spot, no challenge. Drive ends.
Right.
Punt away.
That's...
It's little... Even you go back to the Gardner Minshew fumble, and we were just talking about this as well. You go back to that fumble. As egregious a play as that is, as game-changing of a play as I believe that turned out to be in terms of the result of the game, it comes down to that play doesn't happen if Gardner just gets a proper grip on the ball when it's snapped. He's in the shotgun. He never had the ball in his hands. And you think, how many snaps in his – football career has he taken? He could probably count on two hands how many times that particular where he snaps the ball and he never gets the proper grip. Because at Washington State, and this is why I bring this up, at Washington State, he was throwing the ball 50 to 60 times a game.
Out of the shotgun.
In the air raid, out of the shotgun. Do you know how many times he's taken that snap? Aside from being 6 years in the National Football League. So what I mean is razor thin. This is, you talk about a game of inches. We saw it on the Thursday night opener. It's a game of not just inches, but a toe. Yeah. A toe is the difference in this game. And that's what's fascinating on a day like today, as every team in the league now, after week one, resets, recalibrates, and gets set for week two. But, man, as tough as it was for Raider Nation to see what they saw in terms of a lack of a running game, didn't make it easier watching San Francisco run the ball. Was that not a clinic last night? That was just unbelievable. No Christian McCaffrey. Jordan Mason.
Maybe Christian's the system.
Maybe
player.
He's the problem?
He's the system running back.
Christian's the problem. I agree.
Not a problem. It's like we always talk about the system quarterback. Maybe Christian's just a system running back because they obviously plugged in, what is he, an undrafted free agent or a late round pick? And yeah, you go in there and you run for, what is it, 147?
It's like the
years.
Old days with the Shanahan offense.
Exactly.
When you would see it in Denver and they would all of a sudden Ruben Drones would have 200 yards for no reason.
Now I'm being facetious.
Mike Anderson?
Mike Anderson, four touchdowns.
Olandis Gary?
Olandis.
I'm being facetious because it takes an eye to understand the talent and find that kind of talent. But yeah, it is. It's a machine up in San Francisco.
It's unbelievable. I mean, just they ran the ball when they wanted to run the ball. They ran the ball when they knew the Jets couldn't stop the 49ers when they knew they were going to run the ball.
Go watch the schemes and the blocking schemes and what they're doing from that perspective. You know, our eye is always on the football and who has the football, and sometimes we miss. That's why I like going back and rewatching the games. Go watch that game and watch what the 49ers are doing from a blocking standpoint. And not just the linemen, but the tight ends and the wide receivers. They do some intricate stuff.
Well, that was a better first hour in terms of the mood, I think. I think we're starting to make the turn as we get into week two. Not quite there.
The heaviness is lifting.
The heaviness is lifting because we're finding some little morsels of positivity as we get set for that Baltimore trip. But the Morning Tailgate rolls on after the break. Jason Fitz, Yahoo Sports. If anybody's going to give us a positive spin, it's going to be Jason. So we'll hear from him coming up at the top of the hour.